Ezekiel is a prophet who did a lot of strange things. God commanded him, for example, one time to lay on his side for over a year. God also commanded him at another time to cut off all of his hair, to burn some of it, to scatter some of it in the city, and to scatter the rest to the winds. God commanded him on another occasion to pack up everything that he owned and to dig through the city wall to escape. And God also commanded him not to mourn when his wife died. So compared to all of these things that Ezekiel did, Ezekiel taking two sticks and making them one, as strange as it might seem to us, actually kind of seems somewhat normal. But all of these other signs that Ezekiel did were all signs of judgment. God was showing to Israel through them what was about to happen. God was showing them that Jerusalem would be besieged, that her people would be scattered among the nations, and that death would be so common to them that it wouldn't shock them anymore. God was calling on Israel to repent and to turn away from their sins, even though he knew that they wouldn't. But this sign was different. The sticks that he had in his hand were not a sign of judgment. God was about to do something great for his people, something that they had never seen before. And even though they had to pass through judgment to get there, God was going to keep all of his promises. God would restore them once more. They would have hope in the midst of their pain. They would have hope in the midst of all of their troubles. And knowing what was going to happen next would enable them to deal with all of their hardships. They could face all that was to come, knowing what the Lord was going to do. And Christians, that was important because Ezekiel, like so many in his time, was an exile. He had been born in the land of Israel, but he'd been taken away from his home to live in the land of Babylon, hundreds of miles away. And that would be difficult enough for anybody. I mean, it would be tough for us if we were forced to live somewhere else. But it was especially difficult for God's people, because being in that strange and faraway land made them feel like there was no hope, that God's promises had all failed somehow. Being in that faraway land made them feel like they were no longer God's people and that God was no longer among them. We can hear this, for example, in Psalm 137, written in one of those faraway lands when it says, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" It seemed like there was no hope for them. It seemed like they had nothing to hold on to. It seemed as if everything had come to an end. And all that was left for them was to live and die in that foreign land, forgotten and cut off forever. But God did not leave them without hope. That's the whole reason why he sent Ezekiel to them here in our reading. God says to Ezekiel in the first part of verse 16, "Son of man, take a stick and write on it, for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him." Judah referred to the southern kingdom of Israel, the line of David. Ezekiel had been born in that kingdom. And all the people that he was talking to at that time would have come from that kingdom. They would have expected him to talk about them. But what came after was unexpected. God told him to take another stick. Again in verse 16, "Take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him." And that was surprising, Christians, because Joseph referred to the northern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom that had broken away from David so long ago. Every one of its kings had been evil. And the northern kingdom of Israel turned away from God again and again in idolatry and in walking in the ways of the nations. And on top of that, this kingdom had been destroyed 150 years earlier. They were long gone by this point. How could there possibly be any hope for them? But they too were the sons of Israel. They too were the descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. They too were heirs of the promise. And though they had turned away from God so many times, Christians, God continued to send them prophets too, to call them back to the ways of the Lord, to call them back to the faith of their fathers. They too could find mercy. They too could find hope, even though they were long gone by this point. And if they could find mercy, if God could show mercy towards them, how much more so for the people of Judah that he was talking to right now? Because God also told Ezekiel in verse 17 of our reading, "Join them one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand." It doesn't matter how he actually bound them together. That point doesn't matter. But what it does show us is that the two would become one. God would gather his people in again. No matter where they had been scattered to among the nations, God would find them again. God would bring them back to the land. He would give them a home again. The land would be theirs once more. And no longer would they be divided, God says. No longer would there be two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Kingdoms always at war with one another. Kingdoms where brother fought against brother and where relative was killing relative. That all would come to an end because they would be one kingdom. One united nation, purged of all of its evil, living in the land. God would cleanse them of all of their sins, and they would be his people, and God would be their God. And more than this, Christians, no longer would there be two kings, one in the north, one in the south, but one king would rule over them, God's servant David. And Ezekiel did not mean that David of old would somehow rise again to rule over them. No, that wasn't the point at all. But rather, one like David would come, his long-promised son. And this son of David would be their prince. And this good shepherd would rule over them and lead them in all their ways. They would dwell in peace under his reign. And God would bring them back to the land and set up his sanctuary in their midst once more as a proof that he was with them forever. And knowing all of this, knowing everything that God was going to do for them, gave the people of Israel hope. They had something to look forward to. God would bring them back. God would restore them. God would keep his promises. God would do everything that he said. All they had to do was wait. And Christians, God did keep those promises. God did bring them back to the land. Their 70 years of exile came to an end, and the faithful remnant was brought back to live in the land once more. And God indeed gave them a king, the long-promised son of David, his own son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because in Jesus, our King, we have peace, peace with one another and peace with God. In Jesus, our King, we are the people of God, and God is now our God. And through Jesus, our King, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, who cleanses us of all of our sins. God did all of these things for his people. All the promises that he made through Ezekiel came to pass. And even though they waited a long time for it, God restored them once more. Their waiting was not in vain. But what about us, we might say? All of this happened a long time ago. All of this is long in the past. Does that mean that there's no hope for us? That we only have something that we can look backward to? That we have nothing in the future to look forward to? Well, not at all, Christians. We also have hope because of what God has done, yes, but especially because of what he will still do. God will bring about something far greater at the end of all things. Because Ezekiel talked about the joining of the two kingdoms, that there would no longer be a northern and a southern, but the two would become one. And God has done something far greater for us Christians. We have been brought together, made one in the body of Christ. Because Jew and Gentile alike, formerly two, have been made one in Jesus, joined together in his body as the church. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." So no longer would there be two nations in the world, Jew and Gentile, separated from one another, but all people would be brought together and made one in Jesus. And just as God gathered in his people from among all the nations to bring them back to the land, so God is gathering his people from every nation, even today, calling together all the children of God. The great harvest of the world is going on right now, Christians, and you are part of that harvest. God has gathered you in to the church. So knowing all that God has done for us enables us to face all things with patience. But above all, Christians, it is not only what God has done that gives us hope, but also what he will still do. Because Israel could look forward to what God was going to do. They could look forward, and that enabled them to deal with the present, to deal with all of their hardships. They were still able to sing the songs of Zion, even by the canals of Babylon. And we, too, wait for something greater, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, will return in glory. Because on that day, Christians, all evil will come to an end. On that day, all iniquity will be destroyed. On that day, all that defiles will be purged away. The old will give way to the new. As John says in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." It will be new because it will be everything that the old should have been, purged of all of its corruptions and sins. But it will also be new because it will be greater than the old ever was, far greater than we can even begin to imagine. God will be among us forever. We will be God's people forever. Because as John says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And knowing all of this, Christians, knowing what God is going to do for us in days yet to come, can you see how that helps us to deal with things right now. Why should we worry if the world rages against us? God will bring all evil to an end. Why should we worry if things are getting worse and worse? That will just make it all the more sweeter when all of this bitterness is gone. Why should we worry if we lose everything for God? What will be ours, Christians, will be far greater than anything that we have lost. Why should we be sad if our lives are hard? God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Why should we even be afraid of death? Death itself will die on that great and glorious day. Because knowing what God is going to do for us Christians gives us hope. And that hope enables us to live as Christians through all things. Because God is faithful. And he will keep every one of his promises. All we have to do is wait. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who will come on the last day to make all things new, help us to always trust in you, knowing that you will keep the promises you have made, so that we may face all things in patience and in hope. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.